The SME Clinic, brought to you in association with Zenadyn, your accountancy experts in supporting local businesses to grow.
Dave, thank you for joining me on the SME Clinic.
No problem, thank you.
So, Dave, I suppose, having spoken to SMEs following the budget announcement yesterday, how are they feeling?
It really depends on what industry you're in. We're kind of seeing two separate economies here, even in the SME sector. So you will have the innovation type companies, startup companies, who would be relatively happy with this, with the increased R&D tax credit and other reliefs that have come and helped that sector. So things are good from that side. The other economy is your small business, maybe on your high street, in your towns and cities. So, for example, let's take a retail shop selling clothes. There really isn't anything for that type of business in this budget. And they will feel hard done by it because there's going to be increased costs coming down the line starting from 1 January on top of already high costs. So I would suspect those businesses aren't overly pleased. The innovation sector will be pleased. And then you look at the hospitality section. And again, they will be happy with the VAT rate reduction, but not so happy with the timing.
Yeah, exactly. And that was what I was going to ask you about next, because obviously one of the measures that is very welcome down here in Kerry in particular as well was the reduction of the VAT rate. So it was for food and catering businesses as well as hairdressing services as well, going to 9% from 13.5%. Dave, what impact will that have for businesses that might be struggling maybe at the moment?
Yeah, look, it is really helpful. Unfortunately, it's not the be-all and end-all. Businesses in that sector will still have very tight profit margins. But, unfortunately, because they're so tight, it is the difference between, staying open and not staying open. So it is to be welcomed. It's a 4.5% increase effectively to your bottom line for those sectors. Look, the problem is, why are we waiting until 1 July for that to come in? It's right bang in the middle of tourist season. At the very least, could it not have done from 1 March at the start first season, or just from 1 January, like every other tax change usually comes in on 1 January. So the 1 July is a sticking point, and one I know that the RAI have been given out about. But, they're still getting their VAT reduction. It also applies to hotels serving food. It doesn't apply to the accommodation side of things, but it does apply to the food in hotels. So it is a benefit, it is needed, and the only sticking point is the delay in coming in.
And I know initially when it was introduced, because we've had the 9% VAT rate before, I think it was an emergency measure during COVID, it did make a significant difference, didn't it? And businesses really did notice that difference when they were paying the lower rate as well. So it's an important one and a significant one as well.
Absolutely. And I think the first time it came in, it was passed on to customers. This has gone back a bit. And then the next time it came down to 9%, it was the businesses that kind of availed of it and wasn't passed on to customers. So now with this decrease in 1 July 2026, we're certainly not expecting prices to come down. So if you're going out for your meal, I expect prices will stay the same. So the customer won't see the benefit of this. But what it will mean is that those in the hospitality sectors will be able to not increase prices. And that's very important because, a lot of these prices are nearly at the maximum as they are. So any further increase will just effectively mean that the amount of turnover will reduce because people just won't be going out for those meals. So it is important, and I think the government should be acknowledging that this reduction in VAT rate is not there to be passed on to the consumer. It's there to keep the business open.
Yeah, and I suppose that leads into my next question then, Dave, as well, because as you mentioned earlier, one of the downfalls here is that it isn't coming into place until the 1st of July. Is there a chance, I suppose, that that would be too late maybe for some businesses and they might end up closing before it actually even comes into play?
It could be. Now, some might argue that if they're that close to winding up, then is the VAT rate going to make a massive difference? Look, I think it will to some businesses. Some of the other measures in the budget this year, the minimum wage increase of 65 cents per hour, and auto enrollment coming in from 1 January. So two of them coming in from 1 January automatically puts costs up for those businesses. So there is a 6-month window there where I think some of these businesses will struggle. And even though for those that stay open, I think a lot of them will just be maybe not hiring as many people or staying open 3 or 4 days a week as opposed to 6 or 7 days a week. So they're going to have to do something to try and keep open for that period until 1 July 26.
Yeah. You mentioned the minimum wage there as well. And obviously, Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, announced yesterday that it is going to rise, as you said, by the 65 cent an hour. So that's bringing it up to €14.15 per hour. And again, it's welcome, obviously, for employees. And I suppose everyone wants to make sure that employees are well paid. But again, there has been a bit of criticism around it, hasn't there been, Dave? Because I think businesses feel that, you know, this measure is already kind of adding maybe to the already high cost of doing business at the moment.
Yeah, well, certainly. And, you know, these costs are all coming in at once. The minimum wage, you have the auto enrollment. In some areas, you're going to have rates increases as well. So it's all kind of coming at the one time. And, you know, you're right in saying that every employee should be on a living wage. And I would completely agree with that. And as employers then as well, you want your employees to be earning as much as possible, because if they are, then they're going to be retained in the business. They're going to stay in the business and your employee turnover won't be as high. So it suits everyone to have people being paid as much as possible. Problem is, businesses who hire people on minimum wage are those businesses with the lowest profit margin. So the margin is just getting tighter and tighter. And there's no point increasing the minimum wage if there's not going to be as many hours for that person to work. So overall, they're going to end up being down. So there is a balance to be met here. And I suppose, I don't know, did we expect or we just hoped that the government would acknowledge that and maybe do something to benefit those type of companies, those small businesses that the government described 12 months ago that were the backbone of our society? Really, they're not supporting them. So that's disappointing. And I know the small businesses in Kerry and surrounding areas are really annoyed by that.
And you mentioned, I suppose, that all of these are coming in together, you know, the 1st of January, I think, in particular, like it's going to be a busy time. What kind of advice would you have, Dave, for businesses, I suppose, and organisations that are trying to get ready, I suppose, and to make sure that they are ready, I suppose, and that they're not under pressure maybe to meet all these changes when the 1st of January rolls around?
Yeah, I think, and this is probably a boring answer, right? But I think they just have to look at their budgets and their projections for the first 6 months of the year and try to make it work. So, you know, there's no point being open, having full employment when you're not going to be making enough money to pay your costs. So, you know, unfortunately, business may have to downsize to allow them to get through those 6 months. So the important thing to think about is planning for it, and don't just go and go into it with your eyes closed and hoping for the best. Plan around it, and then hopefully that could get people through.
Okay, that's great advice there. Another aspect as well, Dave, actually, that stood out to me from Budget 2026 that was announced earlier in the week was the increase again, I suppose, that someone can have under the entrepreneur relief. You might explain to us maybe what actually this means, I suppose, and the impact that it might have.
Yeah, so this is a positive measure. So it's to do with capital gains tax. So if you were to sell your business currently in 2025, if you sold your business for 1.5 million, you would pay capital gains tax of 10% on the first 1 million and 33% on the next 500,000. So what the government have done in this budget is that they increased that threshold from 1 million to 1.5 million. So from 2026, if you were to sell your business, you would be paying 10% tax on the first 1.5 million as opposed to the first 1 million. So that increase of 500,000 is to be very well received and acknowledged. And it's something we've been looking for over the past number of years. While it is positive, we are a little bit, I suppose, disappointed that this relief is there on an exit of a business. So, you know, if you were to retire and wind up your business and take cash out, the relief is there, or if you are to sell your business. But there's no incentive for that person to grow their business, to keep the business in their, you know, family name, say, and keep growing it and developing it. There's no tax relief. The tax reliefs are on exit as opposed to as you grow. So we would be trying to, you know, get government to think about maybe how to benefit those businesses that are growing and are generating jobs, they're generating cash, and to benefit those entrepreneurs who you know, will be driving on jobs and benefit during the lifetime of that business and not just at the end. So we would be kind of looking for something in that side of things. That's not to say we're not happy with the increase from 1 million to 1.5. It is to be welcomed.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you mentioned retirement there as well. And I think speaking to a couple of different people yesterday, just as it was being announced, there were kind of concerns from a couple of people that maybe there wasn't any particular focus or particular mention about the auto-enrolment for the pension. And I know there was a couple of question marks as well about it even going ahead in January, even though that had been penciled in for the date. Would you have been surprised that there was no major mention of it, or was it kind of something that you were expecting to come through?
Look, I think it's coming in January. Once you see the ads on TV about auto-enrollment, then you're kind of, they're not going to roll back then. So not surprised that it's coming in. It's been mentioned for the last number of years. It's been delayed. The legislation is in place. So it's only just being delayed and delayed. So not surprised that it's coming in 1 January. And not surprised that there was no real mention of it because the legislation is already there.
Okay, interesting. Another thing as well that we wanted to talk about on the slot this evening, Dave, was the Living City initiative and the tax relief maybe associated with that as well. To start off, will you just kind of explain maybe what the initiative is maybe, and I suppose the changes that were made then in Budget 2026?
Yeah, so this is a good initiative. It sounds good on paper. The uptake hasn't been great, but I think changes in the budget have been positive. So it just relates to the cities in Ireland. So if you buy a kind of a rundown residential property in Ireland, in one of the cities in Ireland, you will get tax relief for refurbishing that for that property. Now, that's effectively the relief that's there. Now, unfortunately, there was rules with that relief. You know, for instance, the building had to be built pre-1915. So that restricted a lot of these properties, just took it out of the incentive. That has been changed now to 1975. So that's a very good change and should see an awful lot of buildings come into this area. It also applies to commercial properties that are being changed into residential properties. So the relief is now there for commercial properties which are being renovated and changed into residential. And actually for those properties, there's no age restriction. So it can be any property or any building. So again, that's very positive. And what they've also done then as well is that they've broadened it out to additional towns in Ireland. Again, what we would be campaigning for is this should be in every town in Ireland and not just cities and a couple of extra towns. But hopefully they will get there. Now, I suppose the towns mentioned, the additional towns are going to be Athlone, Drogheda, Dundalk, Letterkenny and Sligo. So they're on top of the additional cities. So, you know, from your point of view, I'd be a little bit annoyed that Killarney or Tralee haven't been mentioned in that. And they're not being able to avail of that because I do know, you know, housing and an apartment and a living city initiatives are needed in those two big towns, as well as the additional towns mentioned.
Yeah, certainly. I know there will be disappointment about that here, all right. And I suppose, is it likely, and I know it's hard because obviously you're not part of government as well, but would you expect that this might be something that would be rolled out in future years, as you said, maybe to try and target all of the towns?
I think it will, because I think it should be. You know, you look at towns and units in towns that you think, geez, they could be used for residential if it was viable for someone to develop it. And a lot of the times it's not viable. But with this tax relief, it could be viable. So I really think, why not bring these into all towns in Ireland? Okay, it's going to cost the government money. But if housing is what they need to solve, then this is one good way of doing it. So I would be hopeful that it will come into towns like Killarney and Tralee over the next number of years.
Yeah, certainly. It'd be great to see it for sure. Something else as well that we saw change to when the budget was announced as well was the R&D or the Research and Development Tax Credit. You might explain to us, again, I suppose, what those changes are and the impact they might have, Dave.
Yeah, and look, I think in Kerry there is some great innovation being done in that area. So this is where, you know, a company spends money on research and development. And as well as getting your general tax deduction for that expenditure, you also get a credit for that expenditure. So previously, the credit would have been 30% of the expenditure. So if you spent 100 euro, you get a tax credit back of 30 euro. And now in budget 2026, that has changed to 35 euro. So that 35% now on the R&D credit. And you also get that upfront payment back from the revenue. So previously you got it over 3 years. That has changed over time, and now your first payment is up to 87,500 can be your first payment back from the revenue. So even if you don't have a tax liability, that's the maximum amount you can get back in year one from this credit. So it really does help innovation. It helps those companies who are looking at research and development. So it does help the small startup companies in Ireland, allowing them to take risks. But I suppose, you know, probably the main reason why we're seeing this increase is to try and attract the foreign direct investment, try and attract the companies into Ireland again. With the uncertainty regarding tariffs and the trade deal that was signed and the additional 15% that's now in place, this will go some way in helping those type of businesses and compensate those businesses for those tariffs.
Okay, that's great to hear. The government as well, obviously, you know, spoke a lot about, you know, safeguarding for the future and the importance of how the budget would protect jobs. And obviously, they've said it's a sensible budget, protecting growth as well in an uncertain global economy, I suppose. Understandably as well, then, and then the other side of things, the opposition has been slamming it, saying it's very disappointing for the ordinary worker. There was no major tax cuts or a lack of cost of living supports as well. But is there anything for the ordinary worker, or should they be disappointed with this budget, Dave?
Yes, I think they will be disappointed. You know, sometimes when we're living in austerity, I suppose, you won't see any benefits from a personal tax point of view. We're not in austerity at the moment, and yet we're not seeing any benefits. So, you know, the tax band hasn't changed, the income tax rate hasn't changed, USC rate hasn't changed. So none of those things have changed. So there's no benefit whatsoever. Now, you know, the government can't do everything, right? So they decided to concentrate on the VAT rate and they decided to concentrate on housing. So my view, I think in this instance, and it'll change next year, it'll come back next year with some personal tax exemptions and benefits. Mm. I think the government are probably right in what they're doing. You know, the individuals won't see any benefit in their pay package tomorrow or in January. But what they will see is, you know, that their jobs being protected. There's no point having a higher tax band or a lower tax rate if you don't have a job. So the government are protecting jobs, and I think that's the right thing to do. And also, you'll see the expenditure that the government are spending over 2026. You know, it's a massive amount. Over 8 billion is being spent, and that's being spent on infrastructure. And I think, again, you know, the ordinary worker won't see the benefit of that in the short term, but in the long term they will. So, you know, it's kind of like for the worker, you're just taking one for the team and hoping then that next year some additional benefits will come to pass.
Yeah, certainly. Just before we finish up, Dave, if anyone maybe wants to talk to you a little bit more in detail about any specific part of the budget, maybe, or there's something they don't understand and they want to reach out to yourselves at Zenedin, what's the best way to contact you?
The best way is to contact us either by phone, email, LinkedIn message, social media. Anything at all, we're happy to help, and we're certainly available to go through these budgets, because, you know, the budgets come out, we're all trying to dissect it, we're all trying to understand it. We really won't get a full understanding until the finance bill comes to pass, which is going to be next week, and then the Finance Act will be signed over time. So a lot of the information won't be available until the finance bill comes out. At that point, we will know more. So I would say to your listeners, feel free to contact us and contact me directly. No problem at all.
Fantastic to hear. Well, Dave, thanks so much for taking the time, because we got through quite a lot there as well, and you gave quite detailed answers as well. It would be a great help to our listeners. So thanks so much for taking the time to join me in the SME Clinic.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
The SME Clinic, brought to you in association with Zenedin, your accountancy experts in supporting local businesses to grow.